Hi, welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week I look for people who I feel are really at the cutting edge of a spiritual transformation that's happening to our culture in general. Tonight's guest is a good old friend of mine, Juno Wojtyn. She's the author of Karmic Healing, and we'll be talking about karmic healing as well as the evolution of consciousness. Juno, are you there?
Yes, hi Alan.
Hi, I also have to say you are my inspiration behind radio because I was sitting next to you, what was it, 20 years ago when you pulled out your little tape recorder and started to do some radio interviews?
Yeah, it was from 1983 to 91.
Right, so I met you about 83 maybe it was, wasn't it? Somewhere.
I think it was about 85, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was about 20. It was about 20 years ago, wasn't it then?
23.
Anyway, here we are, 23 years later.
Switch role.
But evolving along with the rest of the planet, because there is a planetary awakening, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean,
and
how
I'm
do you
so thrilled to be part of it.
Yeah, and how do you see it happening? I mean, what
the awakening happening?
Yeah, what clues do you see that it's actually, that the planet's actually awakening?
Wow. Well, I mean, it's like it's a whole new world. We're so all interconnected, mm-hmm. You know, just with the technological advances, with the internet and mm-hmm. cell phones, and just how it has really brought people together in a whole new way. I would
yeah.
say for one, and two, it's like when you know I had my New Age show. Back in the early 80s, you know, no one really had heard of yoga even or meditation, and now everything is so mainstream.
Yeah.
It's all right there.
What was the name of your show again?
Paradigm. Yes, Paradigm. Mm-hmm.
Paradigm, right. And now I just want another, I mean, have you been watching Oprah and Eckhart Tolle?
No.
Oh my God, that, they're talking about things to the mainstream that you'd have to sit in a monastery, you know, meditating for years in order to understand. And here they're talking about it to the world on the internet. You know, about essence, what is your true purpose? And Eckhart's been saying your true purpose is to awaken. And he's saying this to 11 million people. So I think there is a huge shift. You're right, and technology has brought us to this accelerated point. And so it kind of ties in with what you're doing, because here your book is talking about clearing the past so we can come to live in the present day with health and happiness and joy and love, right? So
yep.
So here we are in this accelerated point of evolution and consciousness, and the only thing that's holding us back from creating an amazing new world is this karmic past that we're lugging around with us, would you say?
Absolutely. And,
so,
and fear.
And fear, right.
And,
right.
Yes, and just these old tapes that we, you know, are playing over and over again instead of really seizing the moment, being present in the moment, and creating possibility from that. Instead, mm-hmm. we're run by these old programs, mm-hmm. these old blockages from the past, and until they're cleared, we can't really totally be free to move ahead.
So, in your book and your work, you talk about how to clear the old blockages, the old past. I mean, first it is, I think you have to be aware that they're there, wouldn't you say?
Yes. That's the first step in the healing process, mm-hmm. is when you recognize, say, that that you have a problem that keeps happening over and over again, and you see that it's a pattern, that's when you can change it. That's the first step.
But if you don't see it, you can't change it because you don't. A fish doesn't know it's in water, I like to say, right?
Right, exactly.
But if your life is not going along the ways you ultimately really, that brings you joy, then that's a clue, perhaps, that there's patterns that you haven't seen, right? I mean, wouldn't you say that?
Yes, absolutely.
So even if you don't know what your patterns are, if your life is not in absolute joy, presence, and wonderment, then there's something you need to look at.
Well, you know, I don't want, you know, no. Sometimes, you know, because we're human, that we need to experience the whole range of emotions, and sometimes it's appropriate that we're, you know, sad or, you know, or depressed or something. You know, if we've experienced some loss or something, it's not
right
to say that we're supposed to feel joyous. So
right.
I don't
and
want
if
to
someone
come
does
across
something,
the wrong way. Hmm?
You can be angry. I mean, angry is an appropriate emotion when it's appropriate, you know.
Yes, but I think that what you're saying is like the ground of being, you know,
yeah,
like waking up to feel happy to be alive and to embrace this wonderful life that's an adventure. That's what it's really about. The truth is, you know, life is just a series of miracles.
Mm. I totally, totally agree, and it really, really is. I mean, and what we're saying about the world coming together closer and closer and more intimate with each other is just another manifestation of the miracle. So your work, though, is about really lifting up the individual and therefore contributing to the upliftment of the planet, right?
Yes, because sometimes, you know, there's an old saying, you know, if you want peace, you know, find your own inner peace first.
Right.
You know, start with yourself. And in, because when we really start to clear away our own karmic clutter, we can then begin to tap into that sense of peace and oneness, and it ripples out like a wave, like if you throw a stone into a pond and the water just ripples out. And that's what happens, is that when you start clearing out, again, I want to call it karmic clutter, you know, mm-hmm, this noise that you have in your head, you know, the racing thoughts, or, you
right
know, when you hold your breath unconsciously, when you start being able to release that and really tap into a sense of peace and stillness and see how we're all really interconnected, that
mm-hmm
you're not alone, that you are part of everyone and everything. It just ripples out and touches everyone. Because the truth is, we are all interconnected. So that when you do heal yourself, that's when part of the whole web, a whole link in the web heals. So it touches everyone. It's like the 100th monkey. Did you ever hear that?
I have. I saw a bumper sticker that said, relax, I'm the 100th monkey. I know. It's the 100th monkey is when there's enough people with enough higher consciousness, it makes a shift within the morphogenetic field of the collective that everyone becomes uplifted, enlightened, awakened. So, yeah, I know. So you're saying, but healing, when you say healing, it's... are you ever healed? It's an ongoing process, right?
Yes. And what I'm working on now, you know, my first book, Karmic Healing, was on clearing past life blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm working on clearing ancestral karma. And so, basically, so when you come on the planet, you have the baggage from your past lives with you, but you also have baggage from your ancestral karma, what you've inherited from your family.
And that's in your DNA, or is it in your psyche?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, in the DNA, in the sense of when you go to a doctor and you have to fill out a form and they say, well, you know, does your family have a history of heart disease, or, right? That's part of it, but there's also, we inherit certain ways of thinking, certain
attitudes,
emotional patterns. Hmm?
Right. And
certain spiritual patterns. What's that?
How would you clear that? I mean, how would you clear those issues? How do you actually Well, how do you know where they are?
It's like this. Once you find out, if there's been a certain skeleton in the closet, for example, someone in the family has, something happened and, they were locked away in a mental institution for years, and no one talks about it, and it's put in the shadow, so to speak. And what happens is spiritually, that there is, spiritually, that person has to be healed in order for the whole pattern of the family to be healed as well.
Oh, this is like family constellation work. Did you know about that?
I'm not sure. Can you explain that a little bit?
Oh, family constellations means when there's something that happens that's been repressed in the family, everyone's affected. It becomes a kind of karmic pattern for the family itself. So there's even certain illnesses are a result of someone. The illness itself is taking the place of someone that might be missing in the family. So it's a way of working through these ancestral karmic patterns that develop as a sort of, I call it a psychic feng shui that occurs within each person who's related in that family. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So
yes.
This guy, Bert
Hellinger.
It's a
whole other way of saying it. Mm-hmm.
Bert Hellinger does a process where people play the parts of your family, and someone plays you, and then you see there's actually a spontaneous movement in people's bodies where they act out a scene. They're sort of channeling the family's energy, and they act out the hidden mystery that's then revealed to everyone in these actions.
Wow.
It's very shamanic. You should look into it. Family constellation work. Bert Hellinger is the guy who developed it. But it sounds similar to what you're talking about. How do you do the clearings in your work?
Well, this is just what I'm getting involved in. This is kind of like what I'm just investigating.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm still working with, I call it soul healing and past life regression. But that's kind of like my latest, if you want to call it, what I'm exploring.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, that definitely will help add to your toolbox of everything else that you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. That sounds exciting.
Oh, yes. But, you know, what you're saying in your book here is, like, you give certain steps, but you're also saying anytime you explore the unknown, it's good to have a guide. Now, do you think so? Isn't ultimately the exploration of the unknown within oneself without guidance? Do you know that's
what you're opening up? Well, you know, it depends. You know, it's like anytime you go into unknown territory, you know, if you travel to a foreign country, sometimes it's nice to have a guide there or somebody waiting for you, you know, to kind of, you know, give you a tour or to show you the ropes.
Right.
So I feel as though that in my work, I act as like a tour guide. It's like in working with past life regression, I've made that trip thousands of times before. And so... you can do it safely with me because I can tell you what to look out for. If you get afraid, I'm there to hold your hand, you know, that kind of thing.
And so with these past life regressions, you clear up the karmic clutter that is in people's lives. Do you want to talk about that then? Talk about that process and how you do it and all that.
Yeah, so sometimes people, I call them karmic patterns, is that... people have ways of being that can either affect them emotionally, because in some life that they've made a decision and have some guilt around it, and that guilt is still coloring the decisions and acting like a block to what they're to something they want in their present life.
Right.
So it's either guilt can be a block or something called, I call it a fate filter, and it's a decision that we've made in a past life, and this decision is a thought so it affects us mentally as a way, as a belief system in how the, how we see the world.
Uh-huh.
Or sometimes, people have chronic health problems, stemming from, a past life. And what I find is that, it happens, usually at the time of death in another life. There's some emotional issue. There's something unresolved.
Uh-huh.
That is there at the time of death, and thereby it gets carried over and shows up in this life as a chronic health problem.
And then how do you clear that then? How would you clear that issue?
Okay, so for example, well, you know, people, you know, past life regression is not a substitute for medical help. And people don't come to me with, say, a chronic headache and say, can you take it away? Right. It's usually in the process itself, through grace, the past life is revealed and the person heals. For example, I had one woman come to a workshop and she got in touch with a past life. She saw herself standing in line at the guillotine during the French Revolution.
Right.
And what she saw was that she had helped some group politically gain some powers of some sort and was betrayed by them. And so at the time of her death, standing there, she had all these conflicted feelings of, you know, rage, betrayal, grief. And so during the regression, she got a bad headache. And now, it wasn't like she was getting her head caught off or anything like that. But, and of course, once you come out of the trance, your, you know, the physical symptoms disappear. And she called me a month later and said that she, had been used to getting a migraine headache at least, you know, two a week. And since she, experienced the regression, she hadn't had a headache since.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes when you just connect to, the root cause of something, healing occurs. But it's something that I can't really control. That's really up to grace, so to speak.
Well, I remember I did a past life regression, and for me, I do believe in reincarnation, and maybe there's people that don't, but it seems to make sense. If we are not the body, we're the spirit in the body, then we can pick up, you know, other bodies. And so my past life regression, I was in this concentration camp. And there were certain, like you said, ideas or thoughts or judgments that I'd made in that life after losing my family and all that, that seemed to affect me in this life because I made certain proclamations, I suppose, or promises to myself I would never let something happen again and feel that way, you know? So in
yes.
the regression, I was able to reverse these declarations and undo those contracts so I could release the, on a soul level, of what I was committed to. That's how I see it working. Is that what you get to?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. So sometimes it's physical, or again, sometimes if you've have an emotional blockage, for
yeah.
example, if you feel guilty about something. In my book, I talk about a woman who saw herself on her deathbed, surrounded yeah. by her six kids, and she felt like she was abandoning her children. And of course, in this life, she always had that. You know, the standard joke was, you know, what did I ever do in a past life that, you know, I don't want to have children. Well, what...
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah. yeah.
Oh, and so what she saw was she felt guilty about dying. And so in the regression, what she saw was she really, you know, she didn't commit suicide. She got some sort of disease, and that's why she, you know, was dying. And what she also saw was from a spiritual perspective, her children needed that experience of losing their mother for their spiritual growth and development. And so it was, a way of releasing that so that she's free then to rewrite her script. So she, you know, doesn't have to not have, you know, not want to have children anymore. She's free to choose and not be...
Right. So do you find, like, at least the past life therapists I had said that we make these decisions karmically that then stick because of the circumstances in those lives, you know, so that woman said something to herself. And then do you help people undo these declarations that they've made in order to release the past?
Absolutely.
So how do you do that? Tell me. Go through that.
And so sometimes, you know, the person needs to work with forgiveness, whether if they've been a victim, you know, to somebody else's abuse or a crime or something. Sometimes forgiveness is part of the healing process,
mm-hmm.
either of that other person or for themselves. And once one can really see that, you know, what I find is that, you know, I've worked with thousands of people, and I've never felt like I had to look up whether that person really lived as, I don't know, an Eskimo in the 1800s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't important to me. What was important is the healing that came out of it, and so that's the research I've done, is the follow-up as to what happens after a regression.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not so much even that, you know, to prove reincarnation, but the process is very effective in itself, because the process is a way of really connecting with your soul,
mm-hmm.
with yourself on that very deep level, with your inner conscious or conscience or consciousness. And in which case, if you then, when you use forgiveness, it's a way of, if you want to call it, finding redemption or healing or closure on that issue. And then we work on reprogramming the person's subconscious with positive suggestions as for what they want to have in their life. And I also work with flower essences.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your essence work. In the book, it talks a lot about different essences. How does that affect the karma of the person?
I've been working with flower essences for about 20 years, and what I find is that they work like homeopathy. So they work on the vibrational level. The essences in themselves don't have any medicinal properties of the plant, so people don't have to worry about, you know, if they have an allergy or something like that. Because it just works on the vibrational frequency level.
Uh-huh.
And so the essences then can really help with changing old thought patterns, habitual ways of thinking, the way we think and turns into our belief systems, and the way we speak about the world, and how we speak about the world then turns into our actions, and our actions turn into habits, and
right.
that's kind of like how our life goes, right? And so the essences then can help make positive changes to help break free from these old habitual ways of thinking and emotionally responding automatically to life's circumstances.
Uh-huh, so because everything is vibration, so all our actions create a certain vibration. It's kind of a way of counteracting vibrationally and shifting us, would you say, because we're in touch with another kind of more subtle energy, it kind of redirects us, would you say? That's sort of how it works?
Yes, because the plants are here. I've also studied... number of years with herbalism, and I've also studied in Peru, shamanism in Peru. And what I found is that the plants are really our gift to humanity and are really here to help us. And they're plant spirits that really help us as well. And just so, just the signature of the plant, because the plants do have, you know, they are here to help us heal, that their vibration, again, can help us increase our own vibrational level. Did I explain that? Or
no, I get it. No, I totally get it. So how do we not pick up karma? I mean, I know we're accumulating karmic or clutter or baggage in this life as well, and we're trying to release it from the past, and then we have all the ancestral stuff that we have to deal with. I mean, how do we just get...
Well, you know, the word karma means action.
Uh-huh.
And so we're always creating karma because life is about action, you know.
Right.
Life, you know. And so what we want to make sure is that we're creating good karma. And so karma is, if you want to think of it, is like, you know, planting a garden. And so you always want to plant, you know, good things that you want to grow in your garden. And
good intention, right? I
mean, yeah, right. Yeah, and good deeds, and and also, you know, this clearing away the past. You know, it's like to always keep clearing away your space in your home. You know, so that things don't from the past don't pile up, and thereby keep you stuck.
Right.
So sometimes one of the first, you know, steps to healing would be to, you know, clean your car or, you know, clean your
cleaning
clean
my apartment.
Your house.
As we
what?
Say. I'm going to clean my apartment. Yes.
Just to because when we hang on to old objects as well, that things that we don't really need or things that we just are attached to. That don't have any use for us. Again, that's another way of slowing down our vibration and holding us back from realizing our true divine nature.
Well, so how did you get into it all? I mean, how do you know reincarnation is true for you, and how did you get into it all? That's sort of an interesting story. Well, how do you know it's real? First of all,
into past lives?
Yeah, past lives. How do you know that you know it's actually true?
Well, for myself, I've had a number of regressions, and the thing about it is it's such a it can be such a powerful emotional experience. You know, like you could be, you know, in your conscious mind, you know, you could be having a great day, you know, nothing's wrong, and then when you have a regression, all of a sudden get in touch with a very powerful experience that is so moving to you, that is so, that touches your soul so deeply that you know that it's, you know, something's there.
That it's
and
real.
It, yeah.
It's not something you've made up or imagined.
Right, exactly. Because unless you were, you know, a great, you know, actress or actor, you know, like, not many people can, you know, kind of create that on the spot.
Right, and feel so emotional about it because, you're right, I think that's the key is the emotions that it generates from...
Yes, yes, and it also then can really explain, you know, just some... You know, just give you some insights and explanations. Like my, I had a regression regarding my relationship with my husband, who's an artist. And what I found was immediately I saw us as Native Americans, and we were in a canoe, like paddling down a river in New York, and just this tremendous sense of happiness. And just bliss and peace permeated every cell of my being. And, you know, it's funny because we live in the city, but I think our happiest times together are when we're in the woods or, you know, in a kayaking together or something like that.
But someone would say that's just a plane of your consciousness, as if dreams, you know, are use elements of our psychology to create scenarios that recreate our lives to show us something. I mean, so somebody would say that about that kind of regression in that case. I'm not saying it's not true, but I'm just saying it also has psychological relevance to your situation, right?
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's because my husband's an artist. We live in the city.
Right.
And yet, you know, this, the happiest times are in when we're in the woods, in nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, maybe it's not some earth-shattering thing, but to me, it explains a lot. I mean, it's not typical, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and...
You know, the thing that I get that, and it's true, and Ian Stevenson, you know, have his work about looking at scars on children and remembering their past lives and going back to the places and seeing people were wounded or killed, and the scar shows up on the child. Have you seen that?
Yes.
That's pretty amazing. But then you get the case where, you know, you're in Egypt and everyone thinks they're Cleopatra, right? I mean,
well, you know, I've worked with regression for over 20 years, and I've never met Cleopatra and never met Napoleon.
but I
guess I'm just the every man's past life regressionist, but I've never really met any, no big celebrity of past lives, you know?
Well, you know, I explain it this way, that if every, I mean, because there's some people that, I think it's, if you're living in a lifetime where it's like you're around someone like Cleopatra, you become obsessed with them the way they are with, what's her name, Paris Hilton, you know, so it's like Cleopatra,
right.
So it's like you come back in this lifetime with all the desire to own something in that lifetime that you didn't own because you envied someone like Cleopatra, so it comes out in a distorted way, thinking you were that.
Yes,
but,
it could. Yes, absolutely.
And I think, though, someone who has been well known, perhaps they don't have any need to be obsessed with that life because they've owned it. You know, they were that, so they, you know, may have other issues, but it's like they don't, you know, declare that they're some famous person. Or have you met famous people from other lives?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. No. But what I found is that that's not the purpose of our lives.
Right.
It's like, you know, because maybe in our culture it's important, you know, our obsession with celebrities and all. But the truth is, everyone's life is very special, no matter what you're working out, no matter what issues, and everybody has something different, and you really, what you could tell what you're working out in your horoscope, and so as I also do astrology, and that gives some clues as to what are you here to let go of, and what are you here to learn.
Right.
And so, some people might be working on relationship. Some people are learning how to love. Some people, you know, are working on being of service to the world or making a contribution to the world. Some people are working on developing a skill or talent. You know, others are working on raising a family. You know, everybody has a different focus.
Right, and it's not fame is what we identify with, but everyone has emotional issues. It doesn't matter who they are. They're going through something or dealing with some aspect of their emotional body, feeling, nature. So that's of prime importance. That's exactly what Eckhart was telling Oprah. It doesn't matter what you're doing in the world. It's a matter of what you're being inside. He says that's the primary source of who we are. We're here to what did he say? I just wrote it. Your inner purpose to awaken, you know? That's the purpose, to awaken to these feelings. So it doesn't matter who you are, you're going to be going through something in some level, processing it and clearing and evolving. That's the purpose, is the evolution of who we are.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? So when you clear away all this, I mean, we're still, I mean, is there a place, is there a place to arrive to, you know?
Well, when we, the process of clearing, and in that process, one tunes in and discovers oneself. And so it's, you know, it's practice, too. You know, and even in practicing, you know, it, to do anything great, I think you have to practice. And that's why even, you know, if you're in a certain spiritual path, you have a spiritual practice, because it's not something that just is going to happen on itself. It takes a little, you know, focus, effort, and intention, I think. You know, just like if you want to be a great, you know, piano player, you know, you practice, right?
what is it that we're hoping will happen with all that? I mean, what do we want? I mean, what is the ultimate then for this practice? You know, where's it all going? I mean, did I ask that before? what is our destiny in a sense, as you see it?
Well, I see it is that when we all realize that we are have within us that spark of divinity, that we are all. That's our true nature, our own divine light. And when we can really just allow that to shine, what a world we could have.
Exactly. And I think we're heading that way. We're headed to a new earth, a new world. Do you think at that point you get off the wheel of reincarnation? With that awakening, you're completed the human cycle? You feel?
Well, as I understand it, it's like the Bodhisattva path in Buddhism is that once you attain this level of enlightenment, then you can choose to come back to humanity and help until till we're all liberated from really suffering and all are in this higher vibration or frequency.
And I
really think that the part of the key is really this essence of love. I think that that's really the undercurrent of everything is love.
And what's in the way of love is the lack of forgiveness, would you say?
Yes, fear.
Uh-huh.
And fear.
Fear. What are people ultimately afraid of? I mean, what is the fear about? I mean, as you see it karmically, what are people afraid of? Especially, you know, the biggest fear is death, and then if you say, well, and they really believe in reincarnation, then there doesn't need to be a fear of death. And what are people ultimately afraid of?
Well, as I understand it, that's, again, that sense of, if you want to call it the ego talking, that sense of identity that wants to keep you separate, that wants to keep you alienated, that wants to say that there is a separation. That part of us, okay, that's what doesn't want to let go, because if it lets go,
doesn't want to let go, because if it lets go, then it'll be out of control, and then something else greater than that will be running our lives, right?
Well, ultimately, yes, that individual identity will be aligned with the higher power, or, you know, the personal will be aligned with the divine will, if one could really give that, you know, surrender that ego.
And that's where we're moving to as a planet. I mean, that is our ultimate destiny, is to I think, live in touch with that divine will.
Yes, I believe that.
I mean, that's what your work is about, then. So, I mean, it's all about clearing all that so we can be the divine essences here on the planet. And that's the amazing world that you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
So, but talk about some of the other things in the book as far as, like, some of the rituals that with, you know, people do rituals, but I think they become meaningless if you call it a ritual. But if they see the intention behind, like the ritual bath that you talk about in there, can talk about that as another form of healing and karmic catalyst, you call it. You know what I mean? I mean, just the process of doing something that will bring awareness to clear the atmosphere and kind of work on our own release methods.
Well, one can always use the four elements to help one clear away: earth, air, water, and fire. And so, really, water has been used in spiritual healing for, you know, since ancient times. Even here in Pennsylvania, we have something called Chester Springs, which is, a natural springs that have been used by the native peoples because they have, they're filled with minerals, and people go there and soak in them and can be healed. You'll find that springs all over the world. Well, you know, we can't always get to them, but in our age of miracles, it's easier to get a bathtub. And since mineral salts are easily available, because salt then also harmonizes the body on a cellular level and can, again, purify one's consciousness. So just by, taking a bath with intention of healing and finding peace and using salt, a cup of sea salt or Epsom salt, can also be very relaxing and very healing. That would be one way. Or the element of fire, taking a smudge stick, which is really using dried plants of either sage or cedar, which the plant is traditionally known to have a cleansing property. And so just by burning that and then fanning the smoke into your auric field can be another way of clearing clearing negativity or cleansing away stress of the day.
Because we're made out of these earth elements and it's related to the energy that we hold as we kind of pick up some of the baggage that we've been, that we've had, associated. But what's the relationship, I wonder if you can talk about the relationship of the body to spirit in a sense. That's sort of what we are been talking about. How is the, what is the mechanism, I think, that relates the two? Do you know what I'm asking?
Body and spirit?
Well, we're talking about, sometimes someone can have a physical illness because of the karmic things that happen to them on a spirit level. So it shows up in the body, the emotional baggage and the spiritual karmic baggage somehow is then, it affects the physical body, but that's because there's this relationship between body and spirit. I mean, which were body and spirit, but how does those less than physical things manifest physically? I mean, how does, you know what I'm asking?
I'm not sure. How does like bad karma turn into an illness? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, yeah. How does the emotional component?
Okay. I have one client who had terrible neck pain. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so the minute I put my hands on her neck, I just felt this tremendous sense of rage, just, you know, that the anger that she had stored in her neck. And so I just asked her, you know, who she was mad at. And she immediately said her husband. And I do something called Reiki. It's a gentle hands-on process in which you channel spiritual energy, or, you know, the key in Reiki is like the key in the martial art, Aikido. And so where martial artists are in touch with this reservoir of energy, and they use it to, you know, defend themselves or break a board or something, well, in Reiki, I can channel this energy for healing. So, you know, I had my hand on her neck and we were just hanging out there with that. And so basically she just proceeded to say how angry she was at him for like years worth of anger. And in fact she, this had been going on for a number of years, and for a while she was prescribed a painkiller and was, addicted to painkillers, and the pain kept getting worse and worse because her anger was getting worse and worse, and she had no way to express it or no way to release it. So finally, what she did was, you know, she just said all the things that, you know, were like how angry she was. She felt like she couldn't be herself. She was always under attack, always being criticized.
Right.
You know, wasn't appreciated.
Right.
And so after the session, you know, her neck pain went away. In fact, she had fibromyalgia.
That went away too.
But what happened was, okay, in the process was, she's getting a divorce,
uh-huh.
Okay? But the good news is she no longer has neck pain, and all of a sudden, she's been taking photographs for years, and, and her husband always criticized her for, you know, her creativity. And so now she's being a photographer. She has a great website. She's free to be herself, and she's free of pain, and she's out of a, lousy marriage. Did that answer that?
Yeah. And I guess also Louise Hay's book about the way different emotional stresses affect different parts of the body also answers that kind of question. So you're working with the ancestral stuff. You're bringing in the karmic thing. What other great visions do you have that you want to bring to the planet? And you know, what kind of information do you really want to impart to people?
Well, you know, I also, another thing that I do in life is teach belly dancing.
Uh-huh.
And I just taught a class tonight. And it just brings me so much joy to just create a space for people to express themselves and to watch people transform. Because when people also really get in touch with their body and, start to be able to practice, a discipline like dance or yoga with it, and so they get more grounded and comfortable in their bodies, and they just begin to transform and who they are, and that's just a total joy for me. So,
I know you've always been a great dancer, and so can you bring all of this together, the karma clearing, the healing, the dance? I mean, how's it all coming together, or are they separate for you?
Well, for me, you know, even though I work on a different, you know, levels, it's all the same, because the truth is, it's all, I'm an energy healer. And when I'm working with dance, we're really working about energy. You know, we're moving our physical bodies. But the truth is, we're sending out energy. You know, we're sending out love from our hearts when we dance. Or, you know, so that's about energy. You know, when a person's in a private session, that's about energy too. And it's about redirecting, you know, whether it's releasing a block to an energy, or whether it's seeing how they leak energy away by, you know, draining themselves, you know, in situations of, you know, unhappy relationships or work situations that aren't satisfying. So to me, I just see myself as an energy healer. And it's really all the same, you know, maybe working on different levels of it, but it's all the same.
Right, and then we're moving into that awareness that we are energy. I mean, this is what the changing paradigm is all about. I mean, breaking away from Newtonian models to the more Einsteinian quantum model. You know, Newton said the body was a machine. Yeah.
Right, we're going to break down. And
exactly. So if we've taken the energy model that we're energy, then, you know, maybe we're not going to break down. Maybe we can keep evolving and moving. Of course, I don't think we even understand what energy is, but we can feel it, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think it's the difference is that, you know, the old model, we're machines, we break down, we go to experts to get fixed, we have replaceable parts, and moving to that we are light beings. Our body, minds, and spirits are holistically and energetically interconnected, and how we say, or again, how we're being in life. And this is also, I'm working on a new book called Karmic Choices. And really, the choices that we make, you know, that every moment, and that is part of our gift as spiritual beings, is that we have free will to choose.
But how do we know we're making the highest choice? How do, I mean, I always have problems making choices, because I don't know if my, because I know my choice has consequences, so I don't know what the, I just don't know what the best choice is always going to be. Help me. But no, tell me, how do I make the best choice based on, you know,
well,
my level of ignorance?
Well, then you always have to tap in. And always know that, you know, we're here on Earth, is, you know, to learn and to grow. And sometimes by learning, we make mistakes. And so ultimately, we can make no wrong choices, you know.
There's only mistakes you have to learn from.
Right. That's it.
It's not a wrong choice to do those. Kill those people, do those karmic heart. It's just something you have to learn. You know, I know it's, but, you know, it's,
I'm not saying a moral choice. I mean, that's
I know. Sometimes
a different conversation.
Through our ignorance, which is, you know, sometimes we're not always making the best choices, and then we learn, hey, now I have more insight, and now I can make a better choice next time, hopefully. You know?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, that's, yes. That's what it's all about. Is
I mean,
that
the universe
really
is constantly giving us feedback, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And so I think the karmic healing that you're talking about, the karmic path, is a way that the universe gives the soul feedback to make better choices. Would you say?
Yes, as I've also found out, is that some people, in doing a past life regression, they find that their life is like a parallel to a past life. So it's like, you know, a summer rerun, you know? It's like, you know,
right.
Here we go again.
The same situation, different day, same people, right? Same. Yeah.
Right, and same theme, you know?
Right, so how do you change that? I mean, what's the purpose of that?
Well, exactly what we were just talking about. It's that in the past they didn't get the lesson, and so you repeat it over and over and over until you get it.
And what are they supposed to get when you keep, you know, choosing the same type of girlfriend or something like that, you know? What am I supposed to get? What is it that we're supposed to get? What's the message? I mean, how do we know? Because, you know, we keep doing it. I mean, how do we know what we're supposed to get?
Well, that's kind of like the mystery, because every situation, there's always, there's always a different kind of lessons, because we're always learning and growing in certain ways. And some people need to learn the hard way. You know, they're a little denser, okay?
Right.
And so they might need to have a little more challenging or, you know.
Right. I get what you're saying. We have to be open to transformation change. A friend of mine said, we're not here to learn the lesson. We're here to get the message. The lesson happens if we don't get the message. And the message could be, well, whatever it is, it's, we have to be open and receptive and available to the moment to be in touch, you know? I just love what Eckhart Tolle says, is that you're here to awaken to the moment. That is your primary destiny, to live in the moment. So,
That there's a language thing there too, because it's like I notice that in my living in the moment, I'm planning a lot for my, you know, like I'm also planning a lot for my, you know, vacations in August and my vacation in September. So I'm living in the moment, planning for, you know what I'm saying?
But you're in the moment at least when with your plans, right?
So, we can get into semantics.
Okay, we'll get
about that.
But tell people how to reach you for, like, you know, past life regressions and healings and karmic healings. I mean, how can people find you?
I'm on the Internet at www.juniverse.com, and that's spelled juniverse.com. Or in Philadelphia, I'm at 215-627-6710.
And what kind of healings do you do? Work?
I do karmic readings. I can do them on the phone, or I could do in-person soul healings or past life regressions.
Oh, good. Well, Juna, thank you for sharing your work.
Thank you. It's so great to be with you.
And thank you. I want to have you come down to the studio and meet some other women that are doing similar work, and maybe we'll just do a panel discussion there on where we're going karmically as a planet, you know?
What fun.
Yeah.
Would love it.
Okay, we're going to do it. I just want to tell people that we've been talking to Juna Wojtun. That's Wojton, Juna, Djuna. She's the author of Karmic Healing. And you have another book out, right? Don't you have another?
I'm working on two right now, but they're not out yet. I'm working on Karmic Choices, and also a memoir.
Oh, really? But is this your first book, then, Karmic Healing?
Yes, and I'm really excited to say that it is just out in 7 foreign countries. I just got my first copy published in Spanish, and it's also in Chinese and in India and Serbia and Latvia.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really thrilled.
That's exciting. Thank you,
yeah.
Juna. So I will see you soon, right?
I hope so, Alan. Yeah, let's chat soon.
You'll come to New York at some point, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'll just...
Thank you so much, Alan. It's always so great to be with you.
Thank you, too. This is Alan Steinfeld. I forgot who I was for a second. And this is New Realities. And if you have any questions, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net or check my website, newrealities.com, to see events happening around New York and around the country. And thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.